Well, I've been told that I need more exercise and that my body needs to be in constant motion. This is contrary to everything that my body wants to do, which is nothing. I sit really well. I feel that if there were competition of people sitting in chairs, I might actually win it hands down all the time. I sit in a chair really, really well. And I look good sitting in a chair, too. It's attractive for me. The way my curvature little butt just slips into that little chair seat, it just hugs it, man. It hugs it. I'm good at sitting. I can think very well when I'm sitting. I can look around while I'm sitting. It's pretty cool. Sometimes if I want to kind of mix it up a little bit, I'll cross my legs, which is difficult because I have that stuff there that doesn't allow me to cross it completely. But I'll do like the full spread cross kind of thing. And that's extremely attractive on me. As a matter of fact, if I'm sitting in a chair and somebody's walking by, they'll stop and they'll say, "Whoa, look at that guy sitting in the chair. That is so hot. That is so hot." And it's true because I love the chair sitting thing. Sometimes I'll sit on a stool, which is a little more difficult because the posture suffers a little bit. You don't know what to do with the upper half of your body because it's not supported by any piece of upholstery. So chair sitting is pretty much my thing. How about you? No?
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
Why not? Works for me.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh, yeah. Hold on tight. Hold it. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
So anyway, yesterday...
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh boy. Oh my gosh. Oh.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours.
Thank you.
And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam, and I'll be here for your entertainment purposes only. Otherwise, you really don't need me whatsoever. But that's what I do. I sit here and I talk for about 40, 45 minutes, and then you go do something else, and that's it. That's pretty much it. So how's it going for you so far, huh? Yeah, I've been told I need more exercise. My doctor says it. My friends say it. I even say it to myself. I mean, I'm totally defeated. I need to move around more. And just going to the bathroom every 2 hours apparently is not enough exercise. I thought it was, but it's not. So I'm trying to be creative because the last thing I want to do is go to the gym. I've talked about this before. I've said many times before, I can't stand the gym. For about 5 years straight, I was a gym member and I never went. Usually around Christmas time. Usually around the holidays, this particular gym. By the way, did you know the gym, the full title is gymnasium? Who knew? We don't call it the full name anymore. It's just the gym, not J-I-M. But I wish my name was Jim, J-I-M, and then I'd open up a gym. That would be so clever. Oh, I'd have all this exercise equipment and a sign outside. It would say J-I-M, and people would say, "The hell is that?" But through the window, you'd see exercise equipment. Go, "Oh, this guy's really clever. His name is Jim, and he's opening up a gym. This guy rules. Let's join it. I don't know what it is, but let's join it because that is so creative. There's a place nearby me, and they're all over the world. It's Planet Fitness. I'll say the full name. I don't care. They are bold enough to make everything purple. I figure they need the shout-out. Shout-out. When did that begin? What's a shout-out? You're saying hello to somebody. You recognize somebody. Shouting them out? That sounds like that's hostile. That sounds like they did something wrong. I'll give you a shout-out. Your place sucks. Ooh. No, but it doesn't. Planet Fitness is a fine place. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's pretty good. And the fact that everything's purple in it makes the pens very interesting. The only reason I go anywhere or join anything or visit any place is for the free pens. I mean, otherwise, what's the point? Seriously, it's a free pen kind of life. Do you remember going to the bank and the pens used to be chained down to the desks where you fill out your deposit slip and stuff? It was, yeah, they were chained to the desk. That's how much they didn't trust people. Now they don't do that anymore. They have all their complimentary pens, which is very, very, very exciting. The bank that has the most complimentary pens is TD Bank. They have these dark green pens. It says TD Bank on them. And everybody's got, if you don't have a TD Bank pen, it's not because you don't bank a TD Bank. It's because you just have never gone anywhere in your lifetime. They're all over the place. You can go to Guam, literally go to Guam, which, by the way, is a country for those of you that can't follow this, and in Guam, and you can walk into a hotel room and open up and you'll find a TD Bank pen. They multiply, and nobody ever throws them out. I have one drawer in my house with 2,000 pens in it, because everywhere you go, you get a free pen. If you stupid enough to go to a stationery store and buy a pen, you are really like, you just totally don't get it. That's the one thing in the world you never, ever, ever need to buy. You never need to buy a pen, ever. If you spend one dime on a pen, you're a fool. You're a fool. I've got 2,000 of them myself. You want any? And on the pen, it says the name of the place where I got the pen from. And I don't think I've done business with any of those places whatsoever. All I care about is the fact you gave me a pen. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. The other thing you should never have to buy is a mug. Never buy a mug. Everywhere you go, it's a mug. I got a coffee mug. I got a mug. You know how many mugs? I got like 50 mugs from all over the world. Mugs and pens. I put my pens in my mugs. Things you don't have to ever buy. Thank you very much. Anyway, so Planet Fitness, every holiday season, every Christmas, runs this deal where you give them $1 and that's your membership for the whole year, and then you pay them $10 a month. I mean, that's less than the cost of an alcoholic beverage. So put two and two together, it's not much money. So it's like $100 for the whole year. And they have sometimes deals where it's just $100 for the whole year. And it's not bad. So for 5 years straight, I did that. And every single, because the deal was too good. And and Planet Fitness is just wonderful. It's purple and all that. And the purple pens are beautiful. So every year, I go for it, and I say to myself, the start of a new year, I'm going to go to the gym every other day. Every other day. I got nothing else to do. Why not be fit? If I got nothing to do, why not be fit? I don't have a job like you do where I have to work 9 to 5. I do this. And then I do a few little side businesses. I'm a prostitute, okay? All right, I said it. I do a few side businesses, but I mainly do this. Pays for everything. I'm happy, I'm comfortable, so fine. But I don't do the 9 to 5, and thank God I get down on my hands and knees every day, not only to thank that I don't have to work 9 to 5, but also that I can't get up from my hands and knees. I mean, I can't even stand up anymore. So I joined the gym, and for 5 years I have never, ever gone. Oh, sure, I may have gone once or twice because, I don't know, I was in a drunken stupor. but I never, ever, ever go. And the reason is I have to put gym clothes on, G-Y-M, get in the car, start it up, go to the place, sweat my ass off, go home, shower, put my regular clothes back on. That's a lot of effort. So what I did was I got a home gym. There's nothing in it, but I have it. It's in my basement where it's cold in the winters and very, very hot in the summers. So it serves no purpose whatsoever. But here's what I do. Here's what I do. I'm going to tell you my secret. This is what I do. This is what I do. I have dogs. I have a dog now. I used to have I had up to four dogs at one point because I love dogs, the quiet ones that don't bark. And I walk around my large block, and that used to be my exercise, but it's not enough. Apparently, it's not enough. So here's what I do. I have an incredible sound system in my basement for no reason whatsoever. It's so the old boxes in the junk can enjoy music all day, I suppose. I go down there. I went to Sears, and I bought one of those exercise mat things because the floor in the basement is very, very hard. Do you care about this at all, by the way? So I blast the music and I stand there and I march. I march like I'm in a marching band in high school without the instrument. I just march. And I lift my feet up and down and I march for 10, 15 minutes. I don't go anywhere. I march in place because there's nowhere to go. I'm in my basement. Where the hell am I going to go? So I stand, I march in place on this soft little mat. And that's what I do. I do it for 15 minutes. And I've started to actually lose weight by marching. And the more you start to lose weight, the more you want to lose more weight. And I'm eating differently. I don't eat with a fork anymore. I eat with my hands. No, that's not what I mean by eating differently. I eat different foods. I don't have a lot of red meats anymore. I used to have a bowl of ice cream every night. Why? Because it's fucking tasty. I'm sorry, I said tasty. It's really good, but it's got sugar in it. And apparently, when you eat a lot of sugar, you don't lose weight. I didn't know that. I don't do seconds anymore. If I'm really hungry, I'll go into my pantry and I'll get some Cheerios. And I'll put them in a tiny, tiny little dish, tiny little finger dish. And I'll eat the Cheerios one by one. It's nuts. I know it's nuts, but it's working. That's so. All right. So I'm imparting my secret to you. March in place for 15 minutes with stimulating music in the background, and it actually is invigorating. I'm not going to charge you for this information because it's free, just like all the pens.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, the podcast world's version of painful itching and swelling. You know they sell a cream for that, right? It's over the counter. Works really well. I've had to use it a lot.
I do this every single weekday. I hope you can join me. You don't have to listen at any particular time. This is the podcast world, you see, which is a new and upcoming entertainment field of our time. You don't have to be there at a particular time or record it or anything like that. It's always there. And you listen to it at your leisure. Maybe you're feeling depressed and you want Ron to make you feel more depressed. Or maybe I can help you put a smile on your face. I'll come over with my free pens and I'll paint it on your face. I'll emoji your face. I mean, yeah, we got a lot of various ways to do that. So podcast, just anytime you want, when you got nothing to do, you just go to newenglandbroadcasting.com or iTunes or TuneIn Radio or Podcast One, any one of those things, and just take a listen to the show. That's all. You sit down in a chair and listen. That's what I do. Or you can listen while you march in place. I have a Facebook page. Don't know why, but I do. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. There's absolutely no purpose to go there whatsoever. It doesn't tell you anything. It doesn't do anything. It's just that I paid somebody a lot of money to create it, and I just need you to go there and like it. For no reason whatsoever, actually. I get nothing out of it when you do that. I guess it strokes my ego, but it's been stroked so much that it's just like overstroked. It's not necessary, really. The music that you're listening to is from Jason Shaw. He composes and performs the background music that you hear on this program. He's a fine, fine, upstanding gentleman, Jason Shaw. There's a shout out to you, Jason. I'm not going to shout, but hi. Did you ever binge listen to this show? It'll drive you nuts. Don't ever do that. It is so ridiculous. By the way, it's time to talk about my least favorite subject, my least favorite person. That's the so-called President Trump. Oh no, that's not necessary. That's not necessary. Please stop that. Have respect for a person that has no respect for you, please. I don't know that he has any respect for any. He has respect for himself. I don't know what's going on in his head. The guy is cooked. I was reading an article, and Howard Stern was quoted in it. Howard Stern, you know who he is. Let's not even go through that. Donald Trump was a continual guest on the Howard Stern show, which shows you just how real everything really is. I have nothing against Howard Stern. He serves a purpose. He's like a woman with large tits. You don't ever touch them. You just look at them, and that's about it. To me, that's Howard Stern. He talks about sex. I don't care to see him have sex or see if any of his guests looking to have sex. It's just mindless fluff. But whatever. So I think inside Howard Stern's body is a real person. I just feel that. I think he just does this misogynistic thing for ratings. Pretty much that's the case. Anyway, Howard Stern had Donald Trump on his show many, many times, and he says he and Donald were quote-unquote friends. Everybody thinks they're friends with Donald Trump, but beware. Because as soon as you have an argument with him or cross him, he probably will malign you and destroy you as best he can, because he can't take criticism. I'm sure being the president, taking criticism is a problem for him. You know what his approval rating is as we speak? Take a guess. 38%. 38% of all Americans think Donald Trump is doing a good job. The rest are undecided, or emphatically say, this is not working out. Of course, they didn't poll every single person in the country. I'm sure they didn't call you. They certainly didn't call me. So that's what a poll is. It's a sampling, and then they blow it up out of proportion. But it's still, he's the least popular president ever, and he's also the least popular president only a few weeks into his presidency, or a month, whatever it is. So, I mean, I wish him well if he would just do some decent stuff and stop acting like some type of a baby all the time. Well, they said nasty things about me. They're no good. They're nothing. They're stupid. They're stupid. Meryl Streep, she's an overrated actress because she said something about me. Now she's overrated. I always thought she was overrated. Such a child. You know, I wouldn't be so upset. As much as I may disagree with what you're doing politically, I probably wouldn't be this concerned if you weren't acting like an asshole when you do it. Please act presidential. That would solve a lot of problems. But you can't do that. You know, right now, supposed President Donald Trump is having a battle with now a U.S. federal judge. As you know, Trump sat down at a desk and signed a paper. That's all this man does. He doesn't go to Congress. He doesn't go to the Senate. He doesn't introduce bills and then let the Congress figure it out and see what they want to prove, what they don't want to prove. Trump just sits at a desk and signs executive orders. That's what business people do. And many people say, well, that's the way to run the country. I say, no, it's not. That's why we have the Congress. Do you read the Constitution? Do you know how this thing is set up? You're not supposed to run the country from behind a desk signing papers. You're supposed to discuss things with people. Oh, my God. I don't want to get into this. Anyway, so-called President Donald Trump and U.S. federal judge are button heads. The U.S. federal judge said he's going to impose an injunction on Trump's travel ban. And Trump says it called him a so-called judge. This is Donald Trump's tweet. And stop fucking treating, you asshole. Donald Trump, he tweets this. I'll read the tweet word for word. The opinion of this so-called judge, which essentially takes law enforcement away from our country, is ridiculous and will be overturned. President should not call anything ridiculous, in my estimation, because then you're sounding ridiculous. You're sounding like a little kid. You don't call a judge a so-called judge because he's engaging you. He's not a so-called judge. He is a judge. He's a federal judge, and he's rendering his opinion. So-called president. It's just like that lawsuit that you got involved with there with that Mexican heritage judge who was an American citizen. You said you called him names because he ruled not in your favor, or was not ruling in your favor. You started maligning that judge. Apparently, Trump doesn't understand the judicial system. The only thing he understands about the judicial system is that you can buy your way through it. He's everything that you didn't want, as far as this is concerned, ladies and gentlemen. When he was being sued by a number of former students about Trump University, claiming that that was a scam, a sham, a lamb, and a dam, and a dam, they sued Donald Trump for millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars. Rather than go to court, as most people do when they're being sued, Donald Trump went into his pocket, pulled out like a couple of million dollars, and paid these people off. In other words, that's called settling the case without going to trial. Do you have millions and millions of dollars in your pocket so that you can skirt the judicial system by just paying people? Do you have millions and millions and millions of dollars to buy the best lawyers in this country to defend you? No. Donald Trump buys his way through the judicial system. And then he maligns judges that rule anyway against him. He has no respect for the judicial system whatsoever. He's proven it time and time again. This man is a baby. He's a schoolyard bully baby. Now, we all know this, and there's no reason for me to go through this over and over again. But day after day, he proves that he is mentally unfit to do what he's doing. And that's the true danger of this man. He doesn't know what he's doing. There's a certain thing called the Constitution and a certain thing called the American people. And Donald, they said it a long time ago, you need to read the Constitution. It's not the world according to Trump. It's the world according to the American people. Sure, electoral college-wise, they voted you into office. Popular vote-wise, not so sure. Yeah, it was close. Close enough, I guess. But there's no mandate here. There's no mandate. You get your ass together, Mr. Trump, and you listen to people, not just your supporters, but to everybody that lives in this country. And you bring them together, and you find the middle ground, and that's how you go. You don't sit on the toilet in your gold-laden bathroom throne and start commanding things, acting like a fascist and a dictator. Okay, I'm sorry. I just get too involved in this crap. But it's not crap, that's the problem. Beep, 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 crazy crap. Okay, we're going to speak to a young lady here. She's very famous in the cosmetic world. Her name is Kika Rocha, and she's from France. She has a very thick French accent. We did this interview a few days ago. Unfortunately, the hookup between her place and our studio was not great. We have an impeccable sound system in our studio. We're good. On her end, I believe, was the problem, but, you know, whatever. So you have to listen a little carefully here because the sound quality on the interview is not the best, and I apologize for that, but it is what it is. Kika Rocha. Kika Rocha. Going to join us now. Kika Rocha.
Ron?
Yes, how are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. it's a pleasure to have you here. You have so many names. What should I call you?
Kika. I think Kika's short and sweet.
Okay, that's what I will call you then.
Thank you.
She is a fashion and beauty expert, and we're talking about, Valentine's Day is coming up, and fragrances, and men know nothing about what you're talking about. You know that, don't you?
Well, men have special women next to them that can do sometimes the shopping for them. And when it comes to fragrance, it's always nice to think that you're getting something for them that is part of their personality. Mm-hmm. It's very important to know what ingredients contain certain fragrances so that it really resonates with them and makes them happy about the choice. And then it's something that you will also be enjoying. Mm-hmm. So you have to be careful in that. And that's why the ingredients of these fragrances are so, so important.
So how does a woman know what to get a man? Is a woman getting what she wants to smell on her man? Is that pretty much what that's about?
I think both, because you have to please them, and then you have to be aware of their personality. I mean, one thing is a professional guy who likes powerful scents, something very strong, and then there's other guys that like to be in the outdoors or more adventurous. They want something light. So it's really important to think about the activity and the personality, but also the components of the fragrances, because some have stronger notes, denser notes, lighter. So I have a few choices here.
All right.
That, Ron, maybe we can go over.
Let's
and as we talk about that, then we'll discover what's what.
Let's do that.
So I would start with a professional man, the one who's like really used to high standards and wants the best. And for that, I have an interesting choice. It's Hugo Boss, The Scent. And what's interesting about this one is that it has a component that has never been used on fragrance before. It's a fruit that's called Maninka from Africa, and it has an aphrodisiac particularity that makes it really, really appealing, and it's mixed with leather. Leather brings it more a dry, powerful alternative. So that's the fragrance that you'll be noticed with that, uh-huh. But it's also very, very strong and very manly. This is a very manly option.
Okay.
If we're talking about maybe something more romantic, less with character, but at the same time something that you would probably, once you start wearing it, wear it for the rest of your life, I would choose Eternity Intense by Calvin Klein.
Mm-hmm.
And this has a beautiful story behind it because it's made with orris, and that's the root of the iris flower. And mixed with the citrusy touches like bergamot, make it a lighter choice, but something that would really be part of your lifestyle. And that would be my choice for someone more romantic. So if your man is more of a trendsetter and mm-hmm. he likes to wear fancy clothes and love when people ask him what he's wearing, and the fragrance is very important in that, I would recommend Gucci Guilty, and Gucci Guilty has a special blend of orange blossom. I love that scent, both for men and women, and lavender.
Huh.
And it gives it a nice personality, but also a special freshness to it. And then if you have a man who loves adventure, to be outdoors, they need something lighter, and I would recommend a classic like Cool Water by Davidoff, the blue bottle that is like so iconic.
Oh, yeah.
Because it has mint. And the peppermint gives it such a special, fresh note that combined with lavender and other fresh flowers make it a crisp and light fragrance that you can always wear, and you don't have to be concerned about it being overpowering. And if you're more of an original and you want something unique, I would recommend Odin Tanake. It's mm-hmm. a fragrance that has nutmeg, ginger, more of a spicy alternative that's very, very interesting as well. So as you see, different ingredients, different activities, and what's important is to go and try it out and know how much and where to apply it as well, Ron.
Yes, and what is the proper place to, do you walk into it? Do you apply it to the body? What and where? I mean, I don't even know that.
Well, Ron, I love what you mentioned about walking into fragrance. Not many people do that, and mm-hmm. that's how I learned in Paris to test fragrances.
Uh-huh.
And it's the best way to see how it lingers in the air, and then it permeates to your clothes, but in a more delicate and subtle way. Uh-huh. Sometimes people in the workplace don't like to be overpowered by fragrance. You
yes.
don't. I mean, what if the people next to you are not like very happy with it?
Yes.
So you have to be very delicate in that. So that would be one way. You spray it and then you walk into the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is to just apply it on the pulse points. That makes the heat of those areas make the notes of the fragrance linger more in the air. And behind your back, in the back of your neck.
Oh.
That is also a very important point that works. And one thing for men tend to wear lotion and then do the fragrance.
Yes.
I would do the fragrance first, so it really penetrates in the skin, because sometimes when you wear moisturizers, that blocks the fragrance from penetrating. So that's very important. And then less is more. All these choices that I've given you that you can find in Macy's downtown, in downtown in Boston
yes.
and Cambridge, those are very rich and they are meant to last. So a little goes a long way, and that's also very important.
Yeah.
Less is more, always to be fashionable and to be very classic.
Okay. Well,
and
that's
elegant.
That's the same. That's the same for everything in life. Less is more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Let me ask you one more thing. What's the difference between perfume and toilet water? Toilet water.
I think it's the intensity. It's a richer concentration in the fragrance. So
yes.
that, I mean, if you're concerned about the smell lasting all day long, that's what you would go for. And then with the eau de cologne, that is softer and that is fresher and that has a shorter effect. It's lighter, much
I
lighter.
See. Okay. I said toilet water. That's kind of not right. It's eau de toilette. Is that correct?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry. I apologize. I
should. No. It's perfect.
All right.
Okay.
One more time.
Thank you.
Well, one more time before you leave. Where can we get more information?
You can get,
ideas?
I mean, Macy's.com, but if you want to go and shop directly and test the fragrances, Macy's downtown in Boston and Cambridge, too.
Beautiful. Kiki, you're delightful. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Kiki. She's nice. Something about French women, they have this persona that they're very, very sexy, these French women. And the French men, too. You know, they have a glass of wine and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Have a glass of wine, and the French men stand there with their ascot and stuff and their ass. And the French women are in their slinky black dresses. They are always very thin and very shapely. And there's a lot of I know something about it, man. They don't even know what they're saying. They could be talking about the garbage dump down the street, but it sounds so sexy.
The garbage dump. We dump stuff together, shall we? You dump your garbage, I dump my garbage. Together we dump the garbage together. Oh, mama, I want to watch you dump your garbage. It must be fantastic. Oh, c'est comme qu'on pensait? Est-ce que c'est de la lamonte? Hallelujah, I must say to. Est-ce que c'est, qu'est-ce que c'est, de la bibliothèque? I want you to dump your garbage.
Sound a little Italian there for a second, didn't I? Italian's also a language of love. American, not so much. The American language doesn't turn anybody on at all. But the... these European languages, man, whoa, they got it going for themselves. Here's what you do. If you're single, because you can't be married and do this because it's not right. But if you're single, also if you're engaged, it's not a good idea either. But if you're single, go into one of those classy bars, you know, where the cocktails are $17. You know the ones I'm talking about. You walk with a, it's dimly lit. Go to a place like New York, Boston, Chicago, one of your high-class urban cities. Go to one of the ritzier hotels. They'll let you in the door. You don't have to have a room there to be let in the door. And you go to their cocktail lounge on the first floor just off the lobby. Because that's where men and women travel for business. The business pays for it. They're high-class, high-end people. But they're so lonely. They're lonely. They're in the mood to be classy and up there, but they're so lonely. All they do is travel by themselves, and they're scared to meet people and stuff. So here's what you do. You put your best clothes on, your best underpants. You know, you dress up like you rule the world. You dress Trumpish, although in that body it doesn't really matter, but you dress really, really well. You go to the bar, you sit at the bar, and you got to put a little bit of cologne on. You got to smell good. This is for the guys now. This is for the guys. And you sit there, and you put on a phony accent. Now, you got to practice the accent because it has to come off fairly decently, not perfectly, but fairly decent, because there's different dialects of different regions of France and stuff, you know. So here's what you do, though. And you got to do it from the second you sit down with the bartender, whether the bartender be male or female. When you order your drink, you do it with a French accent. And they will take notice. They'll stop and they'll say, oh, where are you from? And you say, I am from France. I would like a martini, especially dry. With an olive soaked in the vodka of your finest choice. And the bartender will go, whoa, okay. Every female that sits down within three stools of you will overhear your accent. And you say, well, how do they overhear an accent if I'm by myself and I'm not talking to anybody? Simple. The invention of the cell phone. You take out your cell phone, your very smart phone, you put it to your head, and you make believe you're having a conversation with someone very important. No, I told you that I do not want that to be sold. I would like to hold on to it, and I will get back to you after I speak to the association about that decision. But in the meantime, hold on to those equities, and I shall get back to you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you. And guaranteed, you know, somebody overheard it near you, and they're flashing their pants open because they are just enthralled with your accent. And maybe they'll come over or lean over and say, excuse me, are you from France? Oh, yes, I am. I sure am. I'm visiting this country. I've got nothing to do. I am so lonely here. I do not know what to do with myself, if you know what I mean. And she'll probably say, oh, really? I've been to France. What part of France are you from? Oh, the part with the French people, the north part of the French. Oh, I see. I know all the towns up there. What town is it? Oh, crap. I do not know the town that I am from. I do not know. I am. It does not matter where I am from. It matters where you are from. Then it starts falling apart. Get the check and get the hell out of there before they call the cops for some type of fraudulent activity, which I don't know what it is, but something's wrong somewhere. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. March in place now. Come on, start marching in place. You feel it? You feel it? Yeah, huh? Not bad. Oh,